is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now, our Savior. Give us what we need out of this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Hebrews, amen, just going line by line and verse by verse and just talking about the book. And it's a special book because it's a book written for us and by us under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Hebrew people not releasing our faith in Yahshua Jesus, the Christ, amen, the Messiah. And in chapter 10, they talked about falling away, apostasy. And in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews gives the antidote for apostasy. How do I keep from falling away in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation? And it was all about faith. It was all about strengthening your faith. And so to do that, God, through the writer of Hebrews, amen, gives us this awesome chapter in chapter 11. It's probably one of the most popular chapters in the whole Bible. Some call it the halls of faith, the heroes of faith. And in it, it can be separated into two parts. He gives us first the definition of faith and then the history of faith. Starting off from Genesis, from the Garden of Eden, just giving us all the people who exercised and operated in faith. Amen. And the things that were written beforehand was written for our admonition so that we can grow thereby. And so we've been talking about the history of faith. We went through the first patriarch in the antediluvian period, which would be Abel. And we talked about Abel being the first person, amen, the first created being, amen, in mankind's annals, amen, to be able to exercise faith. And we said that Adam and Eve couldn't exercise the type of faith that Abel exercised because they saw God. They walked with God, amen. And like Jesus told Thomas, he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that was Abel, y'all. And so we talked about Abel being one of the first men to exercise faith. We switched gears and went to Enoch. Somebody say Enoch. Amen, which is an awesome character in the Bible. We talked about him being severed from Adam. We talked about him being a scribe, amen. And on your spare time, in the midst of reading your Bible, the book of Enoch is just an awesome read, amen. I was reading it earlier today, just going through this. It's a beautiful book, and it's something that you need to jump into because it has in it mysteries and secrets, hallelujah, that Genesis don't cover. And somebody say the book of Enoch. Amen. And this book is pretty much is going to come into play as we get closer and closer to the end times, because that's what Enoch said. Enoch said this book is not written for everybody. It's written on those who the ends of the world have come upon, and that's us. And as we look at this book of Enoch, all the things that Enoch put from the cosmology of how the earth and the heavens look to how everything moves in God's creation to the angels who they call watchers and their influence upon mankind and how they taught mankind war and all kinds of different things. All of that is in the book of Enoch, man. And so you want to check out that book. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. But because of Enoch's faith, we said he was translated, y'all. And that means to be carried over, to be taken from one place to another. And Enoch broke, amen, the cyclical nature of death in Genesis. Because y'all saw it. After Adam, we looked at it, he died. After Seth, he died. And all of them just died. And then that's what the Bible says in Romans, death reigned from Adam. But somebody broke that cycle, broke that unending chain of death, and it was Enoch. Enoch didn't die. He was translated from earth to heaven. Amen. And we saw why he was translated, because he pleased God. And Genesis describes it as that Enoch walked with God. That means to commune with God, and that means to live for God. We went on further in this 11 chapter, 6 verse, talking about without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we just told you that nothing we can do on this planet, on this world, on this flat earth, amen, will ever please God if it's not accompanied with faith. It could, and we talked about religion, your lineage, your works, amen. We talked about all that, your money, amen. God is not impressed with any of that. The only thing that we can give God that he desires is our trust, our belief, and our faith. Come on, give God some glory, amen. And after faith, then the work begins, you see. Then we looked at he is, and we just talked about the existence of God, and we talked about the third point, which we're going to get on again today, which is, a rewarder. Somebody say, a rewarder. Right. And when we looked at this point about God being a rewarder, amen, we took the scripture in verse 6 and we kind of went from the base of the scripture back up. And we said that in order for God to reward you, amen, you got to seek him. Somebody say, seek him. Don't seek the rewards. Don't seek the money. Don't seek the fame. Don't seek the popularity. Don't seek those things. Seek him. Amen. And so we talked about seeking him for the rewards. We talked about what seeking him means, which is, you know, spending time in his word individually, reading your Bible, falling on your knees and taking some time to pray. Amen. And it's not just praying as you go, no, but setting out some time, carving out some time where you actually have you and the Lord in a quiet place, in a quiet time. That's seeking him. We also talked about fellowshipping with his people. That's seeking him. From an individual level to a corporate level, seeking him is coming to church, coming to Bible study, being a part of what church is doing. That's seeking him. Because where two or more, hallelujah, where two or three are gathered in his name, what did he say? There I am in the midst. That's seeking him when we come together, all right? And when you seek him, you reward it. So guess what? Tonight, again, you coming here tonight, you've been at work all day, you got work 7 a.m. in the morning, but guess what? God knew all that. And guess what? He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So we talked about it, seeking him. Amen. And so then we moved into that word diligent. All right. Because you just can't seek him every once in a while like we used to do when we was in false religion. Coming to church for Easter and Christmas. That's not seeking him. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We make it our business, y'all, to do it on a daily basis. When we look at the graph of our life, when we look at our lifeline, amen, it's a life that's spent chasing after God, thirsting after God. Like the deer pants for the water brooks, so doth my soul thirst after you. And I might have ebbs and flows, ups and downs, where I'm not as warm as I used to be or not as hot as I could be. But when we put it all together, amen, I'm seeking him. That's my life song. That's my life movement. Amen. And besides the ebbs and flows, amen, when you put my life together, amen, when you average out my life, amen, my life is a life that's spent chasing after him, chasing after him. Chasing after his word, his way, chasing him in prayer, chasing him in church, chasing him, amen, reading books that have to do with him. I'm chasing after God, all right? It's not a one and done thing. He's a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek him. And then we got into the rewards, if you remember. And we stopped when we got into the rewards because we just talked about the first reward. Anybody remember what the first reward we get from God for seeking him? Him. Him. He's the greatest reward. He's the pearl hidden in the field. You see? He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure hidden in the field. We can have everything else in the world and not have him, and we wouldn't have nothing. Anybody hear me up in here? You know, Keith, they say, the old hymn writer said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Rather have him than have riches untold. Rather have him than houses and land. You see? Rather be bought, purchased with them nail-scarred hands. And that's what it's all about. You see, when you get saved, you come into church, that's the foundation. That's the most important thing. Because after all the money, after all the fame, listen, them people committing suicide out there, man. Them people overdosing, man. Them people on drugs, them people running crazy. Why? They don't have him. The first prize, the first reward is him. And I'm about to move on, but the beauty of having him, amen, you see, he's our portion. Remember the scripture? Abraham said that the Lord is my reward, my great reward. You see? And a lot of times we say, I belong to you, Lord, but the vice versa is true. You not only belong to him, but he belongs to us. Woo! the reward. He belongs to me. He is mine. That's why the Bible talks about my God. My God is awesome. Is he yours tonight? Does he belong to you tonight? That was the promise given to us way back in the Old Testament, our people. He said, listen, hallelujah. He said, they shall be my people and I shall be their God. I'm going to belong to, I give myself to them. He's the reward, man. He's the reward. And listen, that's why I stopped Bible study, because we could stop right there. We could just stop right there. But we got a little more to talk about tonight. Y'all know I ain't going to do that to y'all. I say I wouldn't be long. I didn't tell you how long. All right? All right? That's what he said. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Remember we say God not playing hide and seek with you? As soon as you want him, he coming. You understand what I'm saying? He coming, man. He running to you. He listening, man. You know? Hallelujah. And so here we go. Now, we're going to talk about the rewards, but when we talk about him being the chief reward, I want to tell you that when I want to tell you the things that when you have God, the things that God will bring to the table. All right? So if we're looking at it from an outline point of view, the first reward is him, and I'm going to give you some subpoints, the things that accompany him. All right? So when you're seeking God, you get him. But when God come on in, he bringing a whole bunch of things with him. All right? God will never show up empty-handed in your life. All right? So, Pastor, what does God bring? Amen? God brings salvation. When you get God, when you seek him, you get God, you're going to get salvation. All right? And this is the most important thing, amen, to humanity. And in Matthew 11:28, he tells us, amen, he said, come unto me. That's the seeking. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you what? I'm going to give you rest. And that's not just rest, amen, you ain't got to go to work in the morning. No, the next verse tells us, amen, in 29, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. He's more particular right now. Rest for what? Rest for your souls. That's a spiritual rest. That's a spiritual rest from your labor, from your work, of you trying to be good enough for God. That's a resting in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Resting in his finished work at the cross. Resting in what he did to save you. You stop saving yourself and you let Jesus save you. That's the rest that he's talking about. All right. And so when you get God, you get salvation. You get salvation. When you seek him with all your heart, he's going to reveal to you the cross. He's going to reveal to you the gospel. And that's my testimony. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know, amen, all about the cross. I didn't know all about propitiation, the atonement. I didn't know all the seminary theological words. All I knew in my spirit is that I needed God. I needed God. And before we save, we don't quite understand that. You be at the bridal showers and the baby showers and the best advice, the first advice everybody give you, even the ones that's not seeking him, is put God first. You know what I'm talking about. And they don't really know what all that entails. And sometimes when you lost, you might not know what all that entails. But if you just seek him, he going to reveal to you what all of it entails. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. He's going to give you salvation. Amen. Not only that, hallelujah, he's going to give you spiritual rewards after salvation. When you seek first, when you seek him, amen, God's going to bring some things into your life. Spiritual rewards. After salvation, God will invade your life with joy. With peace, with life, with freedom. You see, John 15:11 tells us, amen, watch this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. From Jesus, we get the will of God for your life. God wants your joy on full. He wants your joy on full. God don't want you to be a life of like half full of joy. No, he wants your joy to be full. Every single day of your life, God wants you overflowing with joy. He wants you to wake up with a smile, wake up feeling good. That's what God wants. That's God's best for you. Joy. All right? And he's saying he's spoken these things, his word, the promises, amen, so your joy could be full. Now watch this. In John 16, 24, he tells us, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. He said, ask and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. It's a beautiful mystery in this verse. Anytime you wake up and your joy is not full, Jesus give you a prescription of what you need to do. Since you know it is his will that your joy be full, if there is anything in your life that's stealing, robbing, jacking your joy, all you got to do is pray and ask the Lord. He say, ask and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. What is it tonight? What's stealing your joy tonight? What's breaking your heart tonight? What's got you trouble? What's keeping you from having fullness of joy? You see, when you seek God and you get him as a reward, you get a package of joy. And you get the promise, anytime your joy is not full, just come back to daddy and I'm going to fix it. He say, ask and you're going to receive. Come on, give him glory in this house. I'm telling all the things that come with God. Joy. Not only joy, peace. 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 When you seek God and you get him as your reward, he's going to show up with joy. He's going to show up with peace. In John 14, 27, look what he says. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So right here we see the will of God in your life. He not only wants you to be overflowing with joy, but Jesus wants you to operate in peace. He wants you to have peace like a river. He wants your life to be tranquil. All right? Now, I'm going to show you a beautiful dichotomy in the scripture right here. In this very verse. Amen? It's going to seem like, amen, an oxymoron right here. It's going to seem like Jesus is saying two opposite things. You see what I'm saying? In John 16, 33, look what he says. So we know his will for our life is peace. But watch this. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now wait up, Jesus. You want me to have peace, but you telling me in this world, I'm going to have trouble. You see? But our understanding is messed up. You see, the human definition of peace is the absence of trouble. But that's not the biblical definition of peace. The biblical definition of peace is that you would have tranquility, serenity, even in the midst of trouble. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, y'all ain't ready yet. Y'all ain't ready yet. So Jesus is saying, my will for you is peace. But I'm not saying that everything's going to work out in your life. I'm not saying that you're going to always get what you want the way you want it. People are going to always treat you good. No, no, no. I'm not saying that. In fact, I'm saying the opposite, Jesus saying. In this world, while we're living and we're not in heaven with the Lord, we will have trouble. But don't worry about the trouble because I've left you my peace. And my peace will be with you in the storm. You'll be able to sleep through the storm. Are you with me here so far? That's God's best for your life. All right? That you'd be sick and still not worry about a thing. That you'd have trouble in the relationship, but don't worry. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It don't matter, God. It don't matter. That the bills come in, amen. Oh, I never expected that bill. I already paid this. But don't worry about it because I got the peace of God. That's all it is. And that's how God wants us to operate. Real Christians, real believers. All right? Because we got some that act like they believers. You know what I'm saying? And a little bill come. Not even a big bill, a little bill.
$10,
$15. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we can go pick cans for that. How are you letting that rob your peace? Listen, when you get God, you get joy and you get peace. Anybody hear me up in here? Because you know that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You know that none of these things are going to move you. You see? I'm almost done with this little sub points, but listen, John 16, 33, you get joy, you get peace, amen, but you also get life, John 10, 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, Jesus wants to put the emphasis on I because he's making a comparison and contrast. He's saying, that's what the devil do. That's what you could expect when you're lost and you're working for the devil and you're serving the devil. Listen, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what you could expect. But when you make the transition to the kingdom of light, when you make the transition to the kingdom of the dear son, when you've sought God and your first reward is him giving himself over to you, this is the package that he come in with. Joy, peace, and guess what else? He said, a thief cometh, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Come on, give y'all some glory up in this house. So when you get God, you get joy, you get peace, amen, you get life. And not just life, he calls it abundant life. And that's a life that never stops living. And we're going to talk about the eternal aspect in a second. But when I think about that, Brother Harold, a life that never stops living, amen, that means when you have God, amen, your life is going to continually go from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength. Your latter end is going to be greater than your beginning. It don't mean that on the graph of life you won't have your dips. Amen. But like I say, when we take the totality of your whole life, you are going to see a cumulative effect of rising up, of getting better and better and better. Amen. To make your end better than your beginning. Are you hearing me up in here? For some, it's already happening. For some, you could see it already. You see, abundant life means that, hey, amen, you sitting at the house and you say, God, boy, wow, we really living. And then a year passed and you're in a different situation and you look back and it's you like, man, I thought I was living that. And you go back to God and you say, God, wow, no, now we are really living. And then 2 years pass, amen, and he done bless you, he done lift you up, and you're driving a Mustang around town, going fast, going to race with your pastor. So... Brother Feldman, so 2 years later, then you look and you say, wow, God, I thought I was living back then. And I thought I was living even 2 years ago. But now I am really, 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 really living, God. That's abundant life. That's a life that never stops living. Going glory to glory, going faith to faith. It's constant promotions, it's constant blessings, because God wants to show you, amen, that having him aboard the ship of your life is better than not having him. So it don't mean you're not going to have your ups and your downs, all right? No means you won't have your peaks and your valleys, hallelujah, your mountains, amen. That don't mean that. But as we look at the totality, we doing like the Jeffersons, baby. We moving on up. Anybody hear me? We finally got a piece of the pie. You see? He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that abundantly means overflowing. It means all surpassing. It means just when you think it's good, where God say, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're not even ready for my next chapter. I had to give you this smaller one just to get you ready, because I know I might mess up your heart if I shock you with what I'm about to give you. Ooh, single woman, I gotta get a bad man before I get a good man, because when I get a good man, you ain't gonna know how to act. I gotta get you this house before I give you the real house I want you to get. That's why he just don't do things. He do it from glory to glory. It's a step process. I got to give you this amount of money before I give you the real amount of money that I want to give you, because if I give you the big amount, you ain't ready for that amount. It's a life that never stopped living. It's God continuing in your life trying to outdo what he did before. He's just trying to outdo it. I can see him in heaven saying, okay, 2019, okay, it was looking good for Brian. Well, how, you angels, how can we outdo 2019 for Brian and Kim? How can we outdo 2019 for Misha, huh? For Phil, for Chancey, for Kim. How can we outdo 2019 for Duck and Chantel, for Heavy? How can we outdo 2019? Angels, what y'all, angel, what y'all think? Well, they can make some more money, God, this year than they made last year. And they can move in a bigger house, and they can have more peace than last year. And the children can act better, and their marriage could be a little better. They can communicate better. And she's single over here. And if you bless her with that Boaz in 2020, God, she ain't gonna know what hit her. And God out there saying, yeah, that's a good point over there. That's a good point. But what if we get rid of that Ford Escort that never stopped when you turn the key off? Can we do that? Oh, y'all ain't ready yet. Y'all ain't ready yet. Yeah. Seeing your life like the old songwriter said, you're going to realize that your good days, they outweigh your bad days. So don't complain. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes the clouds hang low. Wait. You know what I'm saying? You know? Oh, no, we're not going to say. So listen, let's keep going. I'm on a time schedule. So listen, he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And the first thing you get is God. And God has a portfolio that he bring with him. You know what I'm saying? He's showing up with some things. Now, let me give you some other things. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see what else. So, salvation, joy, and peace. All right. When you get God, amen, you're going to get eternal rewards. Amen. What's the third one, Sound Boot? Amen. All needs met. Y'all want to talk about that one? All right. So, when you get God, you get all your needs met. We want to put a scripture on that. Amen. Philippians 4:19. He says, and my God, you see the possession right there? See that? He's not just a God, he's mine. I'm his and he mine. You see, when God is yours, he got responsibility for you. Oh, you ain't ready for that. He's my God. You don't want somebody to say my daddy and my mama? That means that you got responsibility for them. You see, my children, amen, when she said my daddy, I got responsibility for her. And if I don't do her right, amen, and take care of her and take care of him and take care of them, then it's going to look bad on me. So when you say, my God, that do something to God. That means you ain't looking for help from nobody else. And God has a responsibility now. God has a responsibility. You see, when we say Abba, we call him Father. We call him Daddy. And our daddy take care of all his children. Anybody hear me over here? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. I'm going prophetic. Oh, yeah. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You see, in the Pauline epistles, in the book of Timothy, amen, God issues out a word for mankind. He said, if a man don't provide and take care of his household, he worse than an infidel. You understand what I'm saying? That's God's heart for us as men, that we take care of ours. You hear me, T. John? When you work them Saturdays and all them hours you've been working, cutting up, don't tell them, Pastor. No, I see y'all there. You're doing your thing. Why? You got to provide. See, that's a part of God in a man that make a man. We got to provide. Got to provide. Got to go out there and get it. Got to go out there and get it. I remember in law school, I was working in the sewers, man. I was in the pipes down there, man. Here I am. I got degrees and everything. But no. These bills ain't about to turn off. Oh, no. We ain't about to get kicked out of here. No. What you want me to grab? You not going to get down there? It smells too bad. Hold on. I'm going to get down there and grab it. How much y'all going to pay me after I'm done? I think I'm preaching to some men up in here. I think I'm preaching to some men up in here. You better go get it, boy. You better go get it. You ain't going to feel right about yourself till you go get it. All right, now back to God. If God going to put that in his word about how he want the man of God to operate, if God going to tell the man of God, if you don't provide for your house, you're worse than an unbeliever. How you think God going to provide for his house? How you think God going to provide for his children? Are you getting me, Brother Parker? He not going to look around and say, if he not providing, he worse than info. But when his children call on him and he don't provide, the same one who provide for the birds of the air and the lilies in the field, the same one, you know what I'm saying? Oh, no. Oh, no. And my God, in Philippians, what he said? And my God shall supply. Oh, y'all moving too fast. Y'all moving too fast. Y'all moving too fast. I was just on the my God. But watch what he said. He said, shall supply. Not might supply. He said, shall supply. You see, I think I'm building up y'all faith up in here. You see, the promises don't activate until you believe them. God's sitting there waiting to supply, but you thinking that God, like your daddy, who didn't sign your birth certificate, didn't pay his child support, and didn't come through. Our heavenly Father is not like those fallen earthly fathers. He's a good, good Father. And that's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he is. He gonna always provide. He gonna always take care. And my God shall supply how much? All of them. Make me want to run up in here. Make me want to run up in here. Everything that I need, he gonna take care of. Everything that I need, he gonna take care of. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor they seed begging bread. Everything I have need of, he gonna take care of. I'm gonna eat. I'm gonna have a place to sleep. I'm gonna have a roof over my head. I'm gonna have a car to drive. I ain't worrying about a thing. He gonna come through. Because that's part of the package of seeking him. Now I got some folk in here that can testify how God came through when things were short. How he made a way out of no way. Open up the refrigerator looking back at you. Oh God! We out there never would have made it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the devil gonna attack your faith in this. He gonna attack your confidence in God. Same way he attacked it in the Garden of Eden. And God gonna let him test you too. God gonna let it get close. He might even let the LUS man walk up in your yard. You looking out the window, you walking up in your yard. But listen, don't fret. I don't care what it look like, sound like, feel like. Believe the promise of God. Oh God. My God shall supply all of my need. Now stop right there, my needs. See, we living in a life where we think that some things are needs when they're not needs. And a lot of times we got to adjust the way we live in sometimes, because we're spending some things that God have for something else on other things. And we looking at God, God, why you not providing my needs? God, like, I gave you that light bill money a month ago. But you took that money and went down there to that truck stop and spent that money in that machine. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that? You don't want to talk about that part. See, we got to get our needs and our wants in order. We got to put that right. In Hebrews, take care of your needs. Make sure when God give it, take care of your needs. Take care of your responsibility. He going to have a little bit extra for to take care of your wants. I'm going to show you here in a second if we have time. But he going to take care of your needs, man. He going to take care of your needs. I got, man, listen, man. Listen, man, it was always about to be turned off, Brother Ham. Them people knew me. They come by my house, they'd be, oh, boy, that's you? Yeah, that's me. Man, I came by last week, man. You in jeopardy again? Yeah, man, what happened? Why don't you go get you some lunch and come back? so we can work this thing out. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what y'all don't understand about Christ Jesus is that Christ Jesus is rich. He's rich. And a lot of people want to spiritualize this. Listen, that's the least spiritual people. See, because my Bible tell me, Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He owned everything. He owned a cattle on a thousand hills. He's rich beyond comparison. So when the Lord is talking about that, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, it means that it's unlimited. When you learn how to tap into the riches that's in Christ Jesus, nothing is too big for your God. See, some of y'all are going to God with too small prayers. Y'all prayers too small. You only pray when you need a bill paid. You need to go in there and change up your routine. You come up in there and you say, God, I don't want this bill paid. I want it paid off. I don't even want to see this bill no more. I don't want you to stop that lady. I'm not praying that this lady don't call me today. I'm praying she never call me again. I want to hear from this lady. Lady put me in the flesh and stuff like I'm mad. Coming to church with an attitude. Oh, y'all cutting up into tonight. Y'all praying too small, man. You don't know the riches of Christ Jesus. Y'all walking up to high, oh, we never lived there. Oh, it's too expensive. I'm not educated enough for this job. I can't. What's wrong with y'all, man? What's wrong with y'all, man? We got big things to do in this city, man. We got big things to do in this city, man. We got big things to do in this nation, man. Do you understand with the revelation of who we are? Do you understand with the eschatology, end times, or what everything is going to come back to? Brolin, do you understand what we're saying here? Isaiah, Hezekiah, King David. Your prayers are too small tonight. Ask God to enlarge your territory. Ask the Lord to enlarge your territory. Ask the Lord to enlarge your territory. Business owner, your prayer for your business is too small. Too small. Your prayer is too small tonight. You're not asking God for the right thing tonight. You're not seeing the whole vision. You're not seeing the potential. Your Father owns it all. We was at the house today. And Grace saw some change on the little mantle or whatever. She said, Daddy, can I have that change? Yeah, baby, you're going to have that chain. Look around now, you can have whatever chain that's on the ground. I don't steal it, come ask me, but I'm just saying, you can have it. But she don't know. She asking for change when daddy is willing to give her what he have in his pocket. I'm merely prophesying because God want me to share with you that you're still asking for change. I'm done. Listen. Y'all still asking for change, man. You're still asking for change. When he going to enlarge your territory, enlarge your heart? See, we need people in the city right now. I ask my wife all the time, do we have somebody there? Do we have somebody in that position? Do we have somebody there, here, that we enlarge your territory? Get ready to be activated on a larger level here. But Pastor, I never finished. I never did. Man, listen, man. If this was about you finishing or you being qualified, then listen, you missed the point of this sermon. I'm talking about our God. I'm talking about the things that he can accomplish. The greatest leaders have been some of the ones that's been the least qualified in our scriptures. That's been my story. I come to you like the prophet Amos. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. I ain't come here. Church was not in my resume. It was not in my pedigree. You want me to tell you what my daddy was good at? And what my mama was good at? She saved now, but every now and then she still get ratchet, get a look. If you know my mama, say amen. If you don't, just leave it alone. Listen. Big sister, you better not say nothing. Somebody say underdog. Somebody say least expected. Somebody say David and Goliath. You don't know who you are. And you don't know who your dad is. And you don't know what he's ready to give you. You're still asking for change. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Woo! Listen to me. We're going to go right here. We're going to go right there. I got some more stuff. I got some more rewards. Brian, I'm so ready to keep going, but I can't. We got to get out of here. So like them good movies, listen, come back next Tuesday. And I'm going to talk to you because all we talked about once again was just him and all the things that he brings. I want to get to all the other stuff. I want to get to the rewards he gives you when you're diligent. I want to talk about the favor of God that fall upon you when he... But y'all going to have to come next Tuesday for that. Y'all ready for that? Let's have a word of prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness unto us. That we belong to you, but that you belong to us. Now, Daddy, please broaden our horizon. Expand our hearts. You said in your word that the people that know their God shall do great exploits. But here we are, sitting on mediocrity. Promise the most, but expecting the least. Showing up to the battle in the valley, but not expecting the victory. Change our hearts, Daddy. And the problem we have tonight is more so not a problem about us, but a problem about who we think that you are. Change our minds about you tonight, God. How the only way you do great things in the earth is through regular, ordinary, average, everyday people who just say yes. Who just say yes? You make them rulers like Daniel. You make them kings like David. You make them prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Deborah. You make them mamas who raise people like Samuel. Mamas that raise people like Yahshua. You're still into miracles. But you're just looking out to see who believes you tonight. Oh, Daddy, please pass your eyes on 200 West Willow. We trust you, Daddy. We believe you, Daddy. We ready to own the businesses. We ready to take the offices. We ready, Lord God, to do you in this earth. We're going to look out for your people like Nehemiah. And we're going to be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and all the praise. Everything we own, the glory going to belong to you. And God, tonight we resolve to ask for change no longer. God, we're not going to sit here when you own all the oil reserves in the Middle East, all the gold mines in Africa, all the earth is yours. And here we are asking for $1,000, $2,000. Asking for a little lot in the hood somewhere. Acting like that's a big prayer. We made you too small, Master. Open our minds. If your children ask for bread, you will never give them a stone. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory in this house, somebody. God done equipped you tonight. He done gave you what you needed tonight. You can go in the prayer closet a little bit different, a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser, believing just a little bit more. And tonight, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, I'm telling you, Israel, you move mountains. You move mountains. You move mountains. You've heard the gospel tonight, and I trust that you're going to believe on him. You're going to seek him, and he's going to show you his son, Yahshua. Believe in his son. Call upon his name while he may be found. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. Come meet with me. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom, Israel. Shalom. Peace, health, prosperity, shalom. Enough with them little prayers. Go to daddy and tell him what you really want. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all, Israel. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this